This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everyone is doing well, inshallah. Today is Friday, July 30th, 2021. It is the last Friday of the month of July. And tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, is the last day of the month. So we're starting a new month, new time, same topic, same place. Alhamdulillah. Reason why I say it that way is because I'm just burning time, as usual, to allow people to slowly trickle in, inshallah. And I'm always so grateful for every single one of you who, always is patient at the beginning of the class. But, however, considering that the time for Maghrib is coming earlier and earlier, I'm going to jump right into it, inshallah. And we're going to continue our etiquettes class on the chapter of eating and drinking and the etiquettes of food. And so, alhamdulillah, today we're actually going to be looking at a few interesting aspects of our deen and the etiquettes related to eating and drinking. We're going to start off with istihbab akl al-ta'am ba'da dhahab harari. So the fact that within our deen it is encouraged for us to wait and not eat the food when it is piping hot. You know, when you get food, like fries, you take the fries right out of the oil and you start to eat them and they're burning hot and it's like burning your mouth and you're like, you know, you're trying super hard not to burn your mouth and, you know, you're drinking water at the same time. That's not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we're actually supposed to wait until the food cools down. And we see this in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that we should not eat food until hatta yudhib bukharahu, until the steam is no longer coming out of the food, right? So la yu'kal ta'am, don't eat food until the steam has stopped coming out of it, right? So refraining from burning our tongues, our mouth, and trying our best to eat the food at a time where it is just the right temperature. Now, we also see that within our deen, as we learned earlier or in previous classes, that we're not supposed to leave food sitting there after it's ready to be eaten. So here we're looking at two completely different things, right? The first thing we learned was that when the food is ready, we are even allowed to delay the salah and eat the food first, right? Why did we say that? Well, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was very difficult for them to warm up food or to heat and cook their food. They would have to go to, the outskirts in the desert and find little shrubs and small tiny branches, or buy wood from the market and use that in order to start a fire and then cook their food. And this is why we don't waste the fire or waste the heat of the food or the preparedness of the food by simply delaying and going and praying. Now, I know we think in our minds, yeah, but it's prayer, it's salah, it's most important, more important than anything else. But at the same time, without food, without energy, without nutrition in our bodies, we wouldn't be able to pray our salah. We wouldn't be able to do many acts of ibadah. Now, there has to be a balance, though, because remember we said that was something specific to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of the hardship in gathering, wood and starting a fire and then being able to actually cook and prepare food when we need to eat it. But at our time, we have ease of access to sometimes microwave to warm up food, or the stove where we just simply turn it on, whether it's electric or gas. We have access to a barbecue that we could just easily fire up and start grilling and cooking on. We also have fridges that keep our food cool. Right, we have fridges that will keep our food cool, foods that need to stay refrigerated and they won't spoil because they're in the fridge. And then we also have the freezer, where we could put things in the freezer and keep them for months on end, right? You can cook a meal, for example, cook a nice biryani today or a lasagna or whatever it is that you enjoy eating, and then stick it in the freezer and keep it there for months. And when you need it and you're ready, you could take it out and warm it up and simply eat it. Now, remember that we pointed out the fact that there's a balance there, right? You don't want to delay food, right, eating the food, and you also don't want to delay the salah. And we spoke about the importance of eating right and not eating too much, and making sure that we eat enough to give our body the nutrition that it needs, while at the same time not being those that need the 5-course meal, an hour and a half to eat, and we're delaying salah for that long period of time. But here today we're looking at delaying eating the food when it's too hot. So if the food is so hot that it's going to burn your lips or burn your, you know, your tongue and your mouth, then we should delay eating it until it is just the right temperature. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, as we saw in this hadith, and also in other narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, mentions that the most barakah that you get from the food is when you eat it when it's not too hot. Why is that? Our bodies need a certain temperature, or our bodies require us to respect it in order for it to function properly. If we're going to eat something that is too cold, or we're going to eat something that is too hot, it's a shock to our body, right? And therefore, from our deen, we are always going to do things within a certain level that is good and right for our body, for our mind, for our spirituality, for our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, respecting the electricity that we're using, cooking it, respecting the time that is spent on preparing it, respecting the food itself, not letting it go to waste and spoil, and so on and so forth. We also see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not eat food in the hottest of its temperatures. Okay, so he would let it cool down. And this was something that, you know, we start off with, but we move on, insha'Allah ta'ala. The next thing we'll look at is how it is not permissible within our deen to say something bad about the food, or to insult the food, or to even comment negatively on the food or about the food that we are presented with, or the food that we are eating itself. Okay, so we start off with a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, where he says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never found ma'ab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ta'aman qat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never found fault with the food that he was eating, right? If he had inclination to eat it, he would eat it. And if he disliked it, he would leave it. What we learn from this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we don't see in the sunnah the fact, it's a fact that we don't see within the sunnah the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying something negative about the food that he is presented with, or the food he's about to eat. And if he doesn't prefer it, he would never say that I don't like this, or this is bad, or I can't touch this food, or I hate the smell of it, right? Things like that. We wouldn't hear or see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying these kinds of things about food. Why? Because food is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What one person may like, another person doesn't like, right? Or doesn't prefer. Some foods we actually don't like. Like, there are some types of food that we may not be able to stomach, or we may not be able to actually put in our mouths. Some foods smell a certain scent that to some people is unbearable, and to other people it's amazing, right? And so we see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us again how to balance things when it comes to food. He would never say that the food is bad or smells bad or he doesn't like it. Okay, he would never say something bad about food. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he liked it, he would eat it. If he didn't like it, he would leave it. Now, this shows us that as hosts, we should not force a certain food upon a person that we are hosting as well, our guests. We should not do that, right? We shouldn't be like, oh, try this. This is the best thing. And it's like something that is strange. And usually the best of foods in many cultures is a type of food that people are not familiar with or is rarely eaten. And the fact that something is rarely eaten is usually a sign that people may or may not like it. And so it's a hit or miss. For example, I know here in the masjid, we a few times had our Sunday morning breakfasts. This is going back over a year and a half ago, right? When we actually would have breakfast, community breakfast in the masjid on Sunday mornings. I remember one day some of the brothers, the Pakistani brothers, they were like, we're bringing in baya, which is what? It's the hoof of the cow. Okay, the hoof of the cow that's cooked. And it's a delicacy. They love it. And for me, it's not even something that I can try. I just, in my mind, in my heart, I just cannot bring myself to eat it. And so, for example, in that case, you know, some of the brothers are like, you have to try it. You have to try it. You're not a real Pakistani if you don't try this. If you don't eat this, you're not a real Pakistani. And I'm like, well, you know what? Jazakallah khairan. But if that's the case, then maybe according to your definition of a real Pakistani, doesn't apply to me, right? And so, you know, that in itself is an example that we see from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's actions. That if there was a food he did not prefer, he would leave it. He just wouldn't touch it. And so therefore, we should not force food upon our guests, because if we do that, then they may be eating something or feel to say something negative about the food when they really don't want to. And I think we've all been in those situations, right? Now, what are some of the examples of things that the scholars say we should not say about food? Interestingly enough, even to comment on the fact that it has too much salt or has not enough salt, the scholars say we should never even say that, right? We should not say, oh, this food is too salty, or this food, you know, there's not enough salt in the food. Where's the salt? Give me the salt. I need more salt. If there's salt in front of you in a shaker, salt shaker, for example, you could take it and just put it on the food and enjoy it that way. Alhamdulillah. That's, again, a means of nicer, more complementary hospitality, right? More complementary hospitality, that you have the salt and the pepper shaker in front of you, you have different sauces, you have multiple condiments, for example, that you can use to put on the food. And so that would be nice in terms of hospitality, but if it's not available, we shouldn't be like, oh man, this food needs extra salt, right? Too bad. Just don't say anything about it. Or, wow, this is super salty. If you don't like it and you can't eat it, then you do not need to force yourself to have it. Okay? And this is why we should always take smaller portions and sometimes even take a small portion of everything. I like to do this. People, usually when we go somewhere to eat, you know, I'll take a plate and I'll just put a little bit, like a teaspoon or a tablespoon of everything that's available. I'll take something, you know, if I feel that I might like it, right? If it's something that I know I'm not going to enjoy or I just absolutely can't eat, I won't put it on my plate. So here's, you know, a tip that you can use. Take a small spoon, a teaspoon, a tablespoon of whatever it is that you want to eat and try it first. Put it all on your plate and go sit down and eat and taste all the different foods. And people always comment, right? The hosts are always like, Dawood, is that all you're going to eat? Is that all you're going to have? I invited you to my house. You have to eat more than that. I'm like, this is just starters for me. Okay. Really what I'm doing is I'm checking to see the spice level. What can I tolerate? What I can't tolerate? You know, what tastes good? What doesn't taste, you know, to my liking? And then go back and take more of what I enjoyed more of. And stay away from what I absolutely couldn't tolerate. And so that's a way or a tip, a trick. I know that, wedding season has opened up and a lot of people are getting married and we're getting invitations left, right, and center to go to walimas and go to nikah and so on. And people are inviting people over to their homes and they're like going all out because, hey, we haven't been able to entertain people in the longest time, right? So now everyone's like, you got to try this, you got to try that, you have to have this, you have to have that. And I made this and I made that. And everyone's like, oh, super excited to stay awake all night long and cook, 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 right? But maybe the guests don't want that much food. Or maybe we just shouldn't cook so much, right? Don't waste as well. So, for example, some of the things that we should stay away from saying is that the food is too salty, or the food needs more salt, right? It's not, doesn't have enough salt. Or this food is sour. Ooh, this is sour, right? Or man, this is like too saucy. Like, what kind of halim is this? This is not halim. Halim isn't supposed to be this saucy, right? Or to say, oh man, this is so thick. Why is it so thick? It's not supposed to be so thick. Like spaghetti sauce is supposed to roll. It's not supposed to be like so thick. They're stuck on there like paste, and you can't get it off the pasta. It's supposed to slide off the pasta, right? Or, oh man, this is not cooked well, or this is, this is rare. This is, it's not well done, right? Some people like to eat well done, and if it's the meat is medium rare, for example, or it's cooked to a medium sort of level or degree, then subhanAllah, they may not eat it. Just don't say anything. If you don't like it, you can't eat it, just leave it. Okay? Don't say anything. Why? Well, first of all, the food is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The food that we're eating is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's one thing we have to keep in mind, that we should never say something bad about the blessings of Allah that He's blessed us with. If it was a matter of life and death, what's that show? I saw this show. What is it called? Alone, 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 right? Alone, where people are placed, for example, on an island or somewhere. I remember back in the day, used to call it Survivor, right? There was a show called Survivor, but Survivor was different. It was more about the drama. This show, Alone, like you're all alone. There's no one else there. And it's a matter of survival, life and death. You need to hunt and you need to take from the earth, the berries that you find, or the little insects, or even sometimes ants, right? Protein. You need to survive. You have no option. You have to eat what's available to you. If it was a matter of life and death, we would say Alhamdulillah for whatever meat or whatever, fruit or vegetables, whatever's placed in front of us, if we had no other option and no other food to eat. The problem is we're spoiled and we're not really hungry, or we're not starving. If we were starving for food, we would eat anything that's put in front of us. But because we are eating more for luxury and pleasure, as opposed to eating for nutrition, or yeah, sometimes we are eating for nutrition, but we're not eating for survival. Right, then we have the ability to pick and choose what we want. Okay, so if we don't like something, don't say anything about it, because it's a blessing from Allah. Allah blessed you with it, you have it to eat, and you have so much other stuff that you can eat as well. Alhamdulillah. Remember, there are always going to be people on the face of this earth that could wish, or do wish, that do wish to have the foods that you and I have and enjoy, but they don't. And we complain sometimes about the food that we have served to us right in front of us, but there are people who wish that they could have it, right? And so don't complain, alhamdulillah, because you never know, Allah may take away from us the bounties and the pleasures and the luxuries that He is blessing us with. In addition to that, from the etiquettes of not saying anything, negative about the food, is that when we do, it hurts the feelings and the emotions of the person who cooked the food. They feel hurt. They feel sad. They feel like you don't appreciate it. And by default, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would close doors, right? He would close doors in our interpersonal skills, right? Or our interaction with regards to etiquettes and interacting with others. He would close doors of negativity, things that would hurt the feelings of others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us how to navigate around that and how not to hurt the feelings of others and to stay away from it. So you would see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wouldn't say anything, and this is to assure that the heart and the feelings and the emotions of the host or the person who cooked the food is not going to be hurt, and they will, and we should show appreciation for their efforts in preparing that food and serving it to us and blessing us with that as a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a huge etiquette that you and I really need to instill in our lives and try to work very hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in making sure that we control our tongue and don't say things that are negative about the food. Remember, we go back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyakul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah on the last day, then say that which is good or remain silent. Remain silent. Okay. It's 8:25 and we have an interesting topic to start. I'm not sure if we should get into it right now. The next topic we'll look at is حكم الشرب والأكل قائما. What is the ruling, the Islamic ruling, on standing and drinking or eating? What is the Islamic ruling? Let's go through it, inshallah, and maybe we can recap and revise this next week as well. So I'll go through it very quickly. What is the ruling on eating and drinking while standing? Well, the scholars differ with regards to drinking while standing. Okay? Drinking something liquid while standing. Firstly, let's look at the hadith that negate it, or hadith that forbid it, I should say, that forbid us from standing and drinking. Anas radiallahu an narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade drinking while standing. Okay. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, and it was narrated or reported also by Imam Ahmad, At-Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawood, also Ibn Majah and Ad-Darimi. Okay. The next hadith we'll look at, still within the hadith that forbid standing and drinking, is the hadith of Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade standing and drinking. And this hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, Ahmad, Al-Baghawi. And then we have another hadith from Abu Huraira, radiyallahu anhu, where he says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا يشربن أحد منكم قائما. None of you must drink while standing. فمن نسي فليستقي. And if any of you forgets, then he must vomit. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim and Imam Ahmad, but in the narration of Imam Ahmad, it does not say فَمَنْ نَسِيَ فَلْيَسْتَقِي. So in the narration of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, it simply states none of you must drink while standing. But in the narration of Imam Muslim, it continues and says none of you must drink while standing, and if one forgets, then he must vomit. Right? Bring the food out or the drink out. Okay. So those are the hadith that forbid drinking while standing. Now let's look at hadith that that permit or indicate that it's permissible to drink something while standing. Firstly, hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, where he says, I gave to drink to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam some zamzam to drink. فَشَرِبَ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ. And he drank it while he was standing. Zamzam. Next hadith. عن النزال. النزال says, Ali radiallahu an came and he started to drink while standing. And he noticed that people were watching him, and this was something that the people had disliked. And he says, Ali radiallahu an says, verily I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam doing exactly what you are seeing me doing, standing while drinking. In another narration, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma says, during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, kunna ala ahdi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, nashrab qa'iman, we would drink while standing, wa na'kul wa nahnu nas'a, and we would eat while standing, and we were performing sa'i, we were going between Safa and Marwa. And in the last narration that we'll look at, basically the fact that Aisha radiallahu anha and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, both of them, they did not see it to be problematic for a believer, a Muslim, to stand up and drink. Okay, to stand up and drink something. Okay. Now, how do we understand the two here, the differences? First of all, we saw hadith that forbid standing and drinking, and those that permit standing and drinking. Well, let's look at what Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, and I will just basically summarize that, and we'll go over it next week again, inshallah. When we look at these hadith, we see that it is permissible in certain conditions, certain times, to stand while drinking. Okay, to drink something while standing. But we also see that in one of the narrations that it mentions the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was standing and drinking zamzam. And we know that from the sunnah, we should stand and drink zamzam because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood and drank zamzam, and he would stand and face the qibla and drink the zamzam, and the sahaba radiallahu anhum did that as well. We also see in the other narration that this, of course, you know, was taking place during Hajj, where the people were making sa'i and tawaf, and they were drinking and they were eating. And they were drinking zamzam and they were eating because they were busy performing their tawaf and their sa'i. And so that was during Hajj, and they were travelers, and there was a specific reason for it, that they were busy and there was no place for them to sit down, and there was also no time for them to sit down and to drink and eat. Because remember, during Hajj, you have to be in certain places during certain times, and they didn't have buses like we do. They would walk or ride their camel or horse or animal back and forth, right? And they would walk back and forth between Mecca and Mina and Jamarat and Muzdalifah and all that. So they didn't have the time to sit and enjoy meals like you and I do. So generally, if we were to summarize all of this, that it is better to sit down and follow the hadith of how it's forbidden, or it is, you know, highly disliked, and in fact we could say forbidden, from standing and drinking. And by default, that extends to food, right? Because food requires even more of an effort and more time. So we could easily just stand and drink something, but it is better to sit down, and therefore it also is better to sit down and eat. But we do see that it is permissible, and that many of the Sahaba learned from seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it is something that can be done, but it's not encouraged to be done. However, they say that the the narrations that mention the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the zamzam and eating, and you know the sahaba and what they were doing, that was in the later part of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we should not disregard them and not disregard the authenticity of them. We'll go over this again next week inshallah, because I do want to go and open the door. It's almost time for Salat al-Maghrib and I need to make wudu as well. Jazakumullahu khairan for attending. Barakallahu fikum. We'll see all of you next week and we'll go over this once again. Subhanakallah وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاك الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته